afraid to tell people about that. And there's something that holds us back. Our attitude. Now, David, we're going to talk about him today. And he's the man after God's own heart. And I think this psalm, to me, really explains the difference between him and me. David's not my favorite Bible character. I hope that's not a spoiler to some of you that it is. But if any of you have known me very long, or from now on, know me much longer, I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm going to disappoint you. If you've known me very long, I've already disappointed you at one time or another. And if you know me much longer, I will disappoint you. I'm a human being, and so was David. So if you want to follow somebody in the Bible, it's a spoiler, follow Jesus. Everybody else, every single one, is going to disappoint you the more you read about him. The more I read about David today, the more disappointed in him I was. So, and I don't want to spoil that for you. There's going to be some older ladies today that are going to say, you know, you shouldn't talk about him like that. It's just truth. Sorry. So, Songs of the Summer. My daughter helped me out with this. And I don't know if it was a helping or not, but it got stuck in my head. So hopefully this doesn't stick in your head. But 1996, some of you who were a little bit younger than me, was the year you graduated. Anybody graduate in 1996? Thereabouts? And there we got some. Okay, July 16th, a song came out by a dancer who's not my favorite singer, Michael Jackson. But that song, Man in the Mirror, whew, if you want to go home and study up on that, that has got some great lyrics. I mean, that's got some Christian lyrics in it. It says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and change. Now, he sings it a lot better than I talked it. But man, that is a powerful, powerful message. He talks about the homeless. He talks about the hungry. It's a Matthew 25 message and song. So, Michael Jackson, I'll tip my hat to you on that day anyways. What a powerful song about how it ought to change. Kevin Davis told me one time, one of his supervisors was really getting after him continually. And Kevin says, well, you know what the problem is, don't you? The guy says, what? And Kevin actually pulled a mirror off. So, Man in the Mirror. Maybe we ought to take a peek at the Man in the Mirror. Psalm 51. Proverbs 3:5, Dave already talked about. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust in your feelings. I feel this way. There's some of you who felt the Tigers were going to have a good season this year. Yeah, maybe that didn't go so good for you. There's some of you who felt, I thought about this, there's different things you should and shouldn't say. So I've tried to avoid the ones you shouldn't say so you don't disappoint in me right now. But when the policeman pulls you over, and he comes up and he's really gruff, and you just say, oh, I know I'm getting a ticket. I know I'm toast, you know. It's like, do you know why I pulled you over? Mm-hmm. How fast do you think you were going? Oh, you know, maybe 68. How about 73? It's a 45. And you're like, eh. He goes back to his car. He comes back and says, slow it down. You're like, holy cow, man, that is grace. And then there's the other guy who's so nice. How are you doing today? Oh, you're going fishing. I see you got the boat on back. Have you ever tried this? Like, oh, sweet, man, I'm off. And he's like, gives you this nice little ticket. Have a nice day. So our feelings can't be trusted many times. Now, I want to talk to you about David, and I want to look at Psalm 7, 3 through 5. Hopefully none of us have had this attitude, but David, the nice little shepherd boy, had this attitude. I think he was younger. So Psalm 7, 3 through 5, O Lord my God, almost as if, God, it's a privilege for you to get a chance to talk to me today. If I've done this, and there is guilt on my hands, if I've done evil to him who is at peace with me, I'm thinking, yeah, how about Uriah? Some of you know the story. Uriah was one of David's mighty men. It was only 30. That gave him the privilege and the penalty of living within close proximity of David's house. He strategically had 30 men who lived right around his home so that if anybody came to attack him, those 30 men would arise and defend him. Also, the problem with that is when Uriah's wife was bathing, he was close enough to David's house that David could be a peeking Tom. But David says, if I've done evil to him who's at peace with me, or without cause have robbed my foe, might have took him as a wife, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. It's a good thing God didn't answer that prayer. David would be sleeping in the dust. So be careful what you pray for. And I'm not here to trash David. I'm here to lift him up and thank him. But I want to give you a little backstory on that. Now I want to move into Psalm 51, and that's the heart of the message. David's much older. David has maybe borrowed a few things that weren't his to borrow. And David has maybe shed some blood that he should not have shed. He's done some sins, but each one of us has done sins as well. Each one of us are guilty of sin, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Confession. Are you sorry or sorry he got caught? So Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. That's a whole different attitude. This is a great, great prayer for every one of us today. Have mercy on me, O God. Don't give me justice. Man, God give me justice, I'm going right straight to hell. Because that's what I justly deserve. Don't ever say you want justice. Because if you get justice, you'll be in hell. Plead for mercy. Beg for mercy. And beg for mercy according to God's unfailing love. Not any measure I've got. Then you're going to have something. So God, give me mercy today according to your love. There's no other measure. That's the highest bar there is. According to your great compassion. God has compassion on us who wrong him. Blot out my transgressions. Move them away. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's a great prayer all through the day. God, I'd like to have you forgive me for speeding today, for not wearing my seatbelt today, for thinking bad things of the person who cut me off today. And then all other things. You know, that whole every other thing I've done that I forgot to ask, Lord, those two, forgive me for those, and blot out all my transgressions, like Psalm 103:12 says, as far as east, or 103:12, yeah, as far as east is from the west. I think of his stretched out hands, as far as east is from the west. There's a north pole and a south pole, there's no east pole, there's no west pole. You can't have a further distance than that. That's how far God takes your sin away. Then recognizing who you sinned against. David really didn't necessarily sin against Uriah. That wasn't the first person. The first person we always sin against. If we'd think about this when we want to get cranky with a neighbor, cranky with our spouse, the very first person we hurt is God. Maybe we'd hold our tongue a little bit before we got cranky. Because the moment you go to sin against someone, you're first sinning against God. Against you, you only have I sinned. And done what is evil in your sight. Maybe the person you think you yelled at was upset with you. It might not even bother them, but it does bother God. So that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Confession. That's a great place to start. Recognize our faults. Recognize how powerful God is and recognize His great compassion. And come before His throne with a clean heart. It can only be cleaned by Him. Now verse 5. I struggle with a lot. And in the bulletin, it's in the King James. Now in the NIV it says, surely I've been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I struggle with that doctrinally because I do not believe children are born in sin. I don't think the Scripture says children are born in sin. I think we sin when we choose to do wrong. Now, if you read it in the King James, it's a little different light. But it says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But we'll go back to feelings. When you've really messed up and you recognize it, I think you'd say, like Paul, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the lowest of low. If you go back to Prince's Bride, you know, you're the queen of refuge. You know, I'm lower than a snake in a wagon rut. You know, I'm just terrible. I'm rotten. I'm wretched. I think that's how David felt. I can't take away how he felt, but I also can't take away from what God says. So if you're struggling with that, read Ezekiel 18, the whole chapter. It will declare to you, the soul that sins is the soul that will die. The child is not responsible for the father's sins. So hopefully that'll give you some answers or a place to find them. Now in verse 6, this is what God wants. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. We really know what God wants. He wants a clean heart. He wants a clean attitude. He wants clean speech. He wants clean thoughts. He wants truth in our inner parts. And we know that. David knew that. Yet sometimes we waver because we are human. Now 7 through 12 is what we should want. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. That's my desire. Man, I want that fresh start. I want to dance with joy. I want to recognize that salvation, that sweet salvation. Now, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create. Carol and I and the Thursday night Bible study group had the chance to do first-timers camp. And one of the things I did at chapel is I give every kid a nice brand new paper bag. I know, I'm pretty generous, but it was brand new. And we stapled it shut. And I said to the kids, I'm going to have you guys create something today. And everything you need is inside that bag. Everything God used to create the earth in 6 days was inside that bag. Are you ready? Anything you want to create, you just go ahead. And they opened up the bag and they said, there's nothing in here. I said, that's right. God created the world, the heavens, the earth, everything in it from nothing. So you can't create a file. You can't create a house. You can't create a landscaping thing. All those things are made because we use something God has created. That word create is a special word. And I've corrected a lot of people at work when they say, well, you need to go create a file. I can't. What do you mean you can't? Well, I really couldn't. But you can't create anything because everything that's been made was created by God from nothing. So you can't start from nothing. Only God can do that. So David recognized that he needed a clean heart. So he asked God, create in me a pure heart, O God, because my heart is nothing. You ever get down to nothing? I have lots of times. That's why this psalm is so important to me. I felt like that snake in the wagon rut. I mean, I have my ups and downs. If you think, man, you're always up, you should see my downs. My wife can tell you about them. I get pouty, I get moody. Sometimes they usually only last 6 hours. She says, okay, what's up with you today? I'm like, well, I'm just feeling rotten and, you know, and lost some money. And I have my moments, I'm telling you. But when you're down to nothing and you've really stepped in it and it's stinking everywhere, you got zero right there. That's a great place for God to work. Because from nothing, He can create in you a pure heart. And David knew that. Now he says, renew in me a steadfast spirit. Bring that back fresh. David had that steadfast spirit. Now he wants a renewal, as we should too. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. God's not going to cast you from His Holy Spirit, but we can walk away from Him. I've always said that to my kids. You're welcome here anytime you want to obey my rules. And you're also welcome to walk out of my house. I'll never send you out, but you know what the rules are. You're welcome here anytime you want. And that's the way God is. We're welcome in His forever family. He'll never throw us out, but we can walk away from Him. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That's that prayer that David really gets. We've messed up. Now, Psalm 7, David thought he was on top of the world. Like, hey, how are you doing today? You doing all right? You want some advice? Come on. You know, I'll give you some advice. God, would you like some advice? You know, because if I've ever done anything wrong, just talk to me. David's a bit older now. He's stepped in it a few more times, and he's realized it. And now he said, God, I'm a schmuck. I'm worthless. It's okay to admit that. Just don't live there. And that's the part I have a problem with. And David did not. David knew when he confessed to God, and God accepted that repentance and confession, that God would make him clean, as white as snow, and David believed it and he acted on it. Almost like if somebody came and said, hey, David, you know that thing you did with Uriah? That stunk, man. You sent him off for? He said, what? You know, you sent him out in battle to be killed. And David's like, what? Not that he was being cocky, but that's how God is. When someone says to my God, hey, you remember Jeff when he was 15, all that crazy he did on his motorcycle? And God's like, no. Come on, God, you know everything. God's like, when I look at Jeff when he was 15, I see my son's blood that covered him when he was 27. And all I can see is the blood of my son. And Jeff is just pure and clean. You're like, no, God. It's like May 28th. Some of the last few days of school. What he did on that motorcycle. God's like, I don't have any record of that. David lived that way. I struggle to live that way. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. You want to break a kid's heart? You want to break a grandkid's heart? I'm sad to say and confess to you, I've done that. Grandpa, I want to color you a picture. And they just endlessly color, and they're just doing it. And it's like, here, Grandpa, oh, that's really nice. Not so with Mama. Oh, Carol's got that. She treasures that you got it on the refrigerator. When a child gives you a gift and you don't accept it, it breaks their heart. But when God gives you a gift and you don't accept it, can you only imagine how you break his heart? I've seen those little grandkids when Grandpa hasn't been the all that they want him to be. And boy, I've got some hard miles on me lately. They're like, Grandpa, you want to go in the pool? It's like my dad never went swimming after he was 40. I'm 63. It's cold out. You go in first. It's nice, Grandpa, you little liar. I've been in the pool quite a bit last week just to kind of not break that little guy's heart. And then finally he's like, are you cold? Yeah, well, let's go in. But if you want to break God's heart, when he gives you the gift of salvation, that sweet salvation, and you reject it, when he gives you that gift of being free from sin, that you can live unabandoned, just like go crazy and dance, and you say, no thanks, I'd just sooner live in self-pity. After he already paid the price of his son's precious blood, and you reject that, that's how you break God's heart. We need to think about that. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You can't pay for your sin. He doesn't need any cattle. He's got cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. That's restoration. That's when we finally get it. When we finally accept that gift that God has given to us, we're justified. Now, I don't use many big words, but that one I learned a long time ago. Probably from Lee Sandy in the Sunday school class. Justified. What's that really mean? J-U-S-T-I-F-I-E-D. Just if I'd never sinned. Take that one home. Man. glad you all came to the family reunion today. Last weekend, I was at a family reunion on my mom's side. And before that, took my brother-in-law. We went up Indian River in a little boat. Just had a great time. And my brother-in-law and I get along really well. Sometimes we have our off moments. One thing he always reminds me of, or frequently reminds me of, is he knew me when I was 12, 13, 14. He's about 12 years older than me. So we've got some cousins that were at the family reunion. We walk up to Grandpa's grave, and in Onaway, there's two graves way up on a mountaintop on public land. My grandfather was one of the first foresters, so we always go up and see that. And on the way down, my kind brother-in-law tells my two very religious cousins from Grand Rapids, "Did you know Jeff when he was young?" I'm like, oh boy, here it comes again. "Yeah, I remember taking him for a ride one day, and he's wanting to tell me all about the birds and the bees when he was only 13. I'm like, "Yeah, that's true." So I kind of laugh it off. It's like, "Well, yeah, and you stopped the car and took notes." So, but it's kind of, that's always bothered me. It's like he remembers my sin. When I think wisely enough, I'll say, you know, isn't it neat that God took a piece of dirt like that and changed him? And isn't it neat that God doesn't remember it? That is awfully neat. Just if I'd never sinned. Now, when my brother-in-law tells that story, I thought maybe he was done telling that, but just last weekend he told it again. I can't run away from my past, but I can run into the arms of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't remember those sins. I still do. I've shared this with you before. Why do I? What a wretched man am I. That messes with my head a bunch. I get the math and all this. Jesus went to the cross. His blood was shed to forgive everyone who accepts the gift. I accepted the gift. He forgave my sin, and He forgot it, remembers it no more. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone, buried in the deepest sea. It's no more on the record books. Why do I remember? I asked every preacher, every friend, every godly person I knew for about 15 years. Finally, guy says, "Oh, I know why." I'm like, "Tell me." He said, "Because a guy like you, if you forgot it, you'd repeat it." So the cracks in the vase that are glued back together are to remind us not to repeat it. Now, a quote from Sherry Johnson's grandpa, Pop Colson, "Repentin' ain't repeatin'." Take that one home. So if you truly repented, we're not going to repeat. Because repentance, according to 2 Corinthians 7:10, says godly sorrow leads to repentance that has no regret. There's a whole lot of things I've done that I'm done with. You know, even fun things. You know, like we'll see a motorcycle and I'll say, "Honey, do you ever miss that?" "Nope, we're done with that." You know, "How about that big old boat?" "Nope, I don't miss that, all those gallons to the hour." "Nope, done with that." But my sin, man, I better be done with that. If we regret it, are you really done with it? Have you repented? So David sure didn't regret it. He was sorry. And he wanted to be done with it. That's where the justification comes in. Justified, never sinned. That pure, clean heart that was washed in the blood of Jesus. Now then, in your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the temple was. David was not allowed to build it. Where's the temple today? Right there. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we can accept the gift of forgiveness and we have a clean heart, now our temple is ready for that Holy Spirit to thrive in. Instead of just like he's swimming through sewage, the Holy Spirit's just, little Parker just got rid of the water wings last week. He's like, "Watch this, Bumpa." He's out at the end of the pool, and I'm thinking Squiggs in the baseball thing. He's going to be down at the bottom, you know. And he jumps off, and he comes up, and he's like, And he's under. And he's under. And he's under. And he catches the side. And sometimes I think that's how the Holy Spirit is in me. Because I put so much filth and wretch in there, he's just gasping for a breath. But if we'd accept that gift and repent and restore that temple for the Holy Spirit, then he can just thrive. And all that energy that he's wasting on dog paddling, now you're ready to go and tell the world. So why don't we tell the world about this precious gift we have? Maybe because we haven't accepted it ourselves. Man, when I get a good deal, I'll tell you about it. I can tell you about cars I bought, what a good deal I got on them. I can tell you, what about that gift of salvation? What about that gift that David got and accepted? That unlike my brother-in-law, God has forgiven and forgotten all of my sins. Then there'll be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Make your heart that altar of sacrifice. So I want to encourage you today. As much as you might dig and find dirt on David, and you don't have to dig hard to find dirt on me, it ain't there, baby. It's gone. It's just gone because of the precious blood of Jesus. Now, if you want to break a kid's heart, let him make you or her make you a special little thing and reject it. I guarantee you, you'll see that frown. You'll probably see him crying. You'll probably see him running to grandma and say, "Grandma didn't like it." Because we're so stinking busy pleasing ourselves. When we start living for God, you slow down a little bit, recognize other people's emotions, other people's feelings, and accept the gift that God gave you so we don't break His heart. I just can't, people say, I can't imagine giving one of my kids for a stinking sinner. I couldn't do that. I couldn't give my firstborn child, who'd never done anything wrong, for some idiot who's just out here sinning willfully. We say that a lot. But what's worse than that is, what if you did give your child and then the person didn't accept the gift? Wow! I've never gone to that level and thought about that. What if you actually sent your son and paid the price for us and then someone said, "Nah, not interested"? That's sad. So, accept the gift. That's the message today. Be a person after God's own heart. If He offers you that salvation, man, grab hold of it and live wild and crazy. And there'll be days that you'll be down and you'll feel like you were just born in sin. You're a piece of garbage. At that time, cry out to God and say, "God, renew that again. Make me clean. Let me pray with you." If any of you would need prayer, I think we're going to have a group later. If you want to come up, if something's on your heart you don't understand, come on up. We'll not understand it together. But it's in the book. The answer's here. But the biggest thing is just to really understand how much God loves you, how much He's already colored the picture. And the picture's a beautiful picture because it's you without sin. He didn't color out of the lines. It's perfect. It's refrigerator ready. And what it says is, "I'm forgiven." We may still have those shirts, but if you've struggled with that, if you're ready to repent, if you've never been immersed, and you'd like to come forward and just be buried with Christ today and be a new creature, man, it's ready for you. If you've already done that, and you're still feeling like that snake in the wagon rut, man, He's there for you. His arms are wide open. And He'll forgive your sins and remember them no more as far as the east is from the west. Let's pray. Hey God, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for David. And man, his life was a mess at times. I understand why he's a man after Your heart. Because he's accepted the gift You've given him. Lord, help me to have that desire to just accept you at your word, even though I don't understand it, even though it doesn't seem to add up. Just help me to accept your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for your love, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.